Good morning to all. Whoever has ears,
let them hear.
Well, just a brief note on Mother's Day before we get into our sermon. We have to remember that Mother's Day is not a happy day for some. We have moms who have lost children. For some of you, this day may be sad because your mom is no longer with you. We have moms who have an empty nest and are all alone today. We have some women who were never able to have children, and so Mother's Day is tough for them. For some people, Mother's Day is hard because of broken relationships. Let us consider that Mother's Day is more than just about biological mothers. From our scriptures, it reads, "Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, 'Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you.' 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother.'" And for you ladies, I just want you to remember that because of your faith, there's always an opportunity for you to be a mom to someone, and for anyone in need of a mom, because of your faith and fellowship in the body of Christ, there's always the ability to find a mom. We all need a mom. And for all you women, you have a call to be a spiritual mom. And when you live out your faith, God expands your faith family. I was fortunate not only to have such a great mom in my life, but I've also been blessed that God has put so many godly women in my life that have helped shape who I am today. And now back to our regularly scheduled sermon. Let us look again at the scriptures from Matthew 7. "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Now, we did this same passage a few months ago. Remember, the wise man built his house upon the sand? I made you all stand up and sing and do the hand motions. We're not going to do that today, so you're safe. So this is a different take on the same passage. Anybody who has ever built a structure of any kind understands how important a foundation is. Without a solid footer or foundation, problems will arise. One of the best examples of what happens when you have a poor foundation is the Leaning Tower of Pisa. In 1173, the builders started with nothing but the finest white marble, articulated by engaged columns with classical Corinthian capitals. That might as well be a foreign language to me. I don't understand. But that's what it is, if you understand architecture. The tower began to sink after construction had progressed to just the second floor in 1178. Think about this. They knew after finishing just the second floor, it was starting to lean. They knew they had problems. And this was due to just a mere 3-yard foundation, 36-inch foundation, set in weak, unstable subsoil. It was a design that was flawed from the beginning. In 1272, construction resumed. And in an effort to compensate for the tilt, the engineers built the upper floors with one side taller than the other. And because of this, the tower is actually curved. And work on the tower continued over the next few centuries, including the addition of grand bells and other features. And it wasn't until the 20th century that the lean was halted and actually slightly reversed. And no matter how grand they tried to make it, no matter how they tried to compensate for the leaning, it wasn't until they did the work to fix the foundation that a potential collapse was actually averted. People who live in earthquake-prone regions certainly understand that it's not only important to have a good foundation, it is critical that they have the right kind of foundation that will allow it to withstand earthquakes of several magnitudes. Foundations are critical. One of the most common methods today for making a foundation is the use of concrete. Concrete is a mixture of water, sand, gravel, and cement. If the ratio is out of balance, you could end up with a mess. If the concrete has too little cement, or if it has too much aggregate or too much water, it will become weak and it will crack or crumble. One of my favorite episodes of MASH involves the pouring of concrete. The MASH unit wants a cement floor for the operating room to help combat, stop the infections from the wood floor, and the Army won't give them one, so Klinger comes to the rescue. Klinger knows everything about cement from his uncle Amos. But Klinger writes down the wrong ratios, and their first attempt is a failure. And BJ remarks, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have just laid 240 cubic feet of oatmeal." Not only is it important to have the right ratios to start with, we have to worry about contaminants that can weaken the concrete. For best results, we can add good items to our concrete foundation to make it strong. They put fibers in concrete to add strength. They add steel rebar to create strength. And as Christians, we have to have the right foundation in our faith. There are things in life that will come and test our faith. This parable was told both in Matthew and Luke, and it tells that the winds, the rains, and the floods will come and put the foundation to the test. And all those whose foundations are weak will fail. In life, our faith will be tested. Our faith will be shaken. It could be a surprise, a disease like cancer. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be a broken marriage. It could be sin and temptation. But you see, Satan will use anything he can to push us away from God. From the very beginning, Satan has tried to separate us from God. And Satan can even use a traumatic event to push us away from God. But the most common way that he will attack us is through our very foundation, is through false teachings. What is interesting is that if you read all of Matthew, in the passages leading up to this particular parable, Jesus warns everybody about false prophets and false teachings. And we find that not only Jesus gives this warning, the apostles John, Paul, and Peter all warn about false prophets. Earlier, Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Watch out for false prophets." In 1 John 4, the disciple John writes, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "For such people are false prophets, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ." 2 Peter, he writes, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you." One of the things we have to be careful about is how we build our foundation. Because even as we speak, the United Methodist denomination is being torn apart over many different items, including human sexuality and scriptural authority. We as Christians are highly divided over politics, and if you've been in any church long enough, you know there are issues that will slice a church into two or three pieces in a hurry. And no matter what side you fall on any of these issues, if you do not have a proper foundation, your life, your faith, and your church can get torn apart over these issues. There are consequences here on earth. People get hurt. People leave the church. And what we often do not see is that our divisions lead people away from God instead of leading them to God. We should all have a common foundation that brings unity. And our unity should help bring people to Christ. If we do not build on the right foundation, if we do not remain true disciples, there are eternal consequences for following false prophets and becoming false disciples. And this verse should sound familiar because I've used it more than once. Matthew 7, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Now, we don't like hearing sermons of judgment, but there are reasons that Jesus and the apostles wrote so much about it. Peter, after writing about false prophets, says, For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for the righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteousness for punishment on the day of judgment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority. We need to start thinking beyond our own earthly existence. Because God is real. Heaven is real. Angels are real. Satan and his demons are real. And so is hell. And what we do or don't do has eternal consequences. And having a foundation is critical in this life so that we can have assurance of our faith and we can have eternal life. And we have to be careful in how we build that foundation and what items we use. Today on television and radio and in churches across the country, there are false prophets teaching and leading our churches. False teachers leading our Sunday schools. When you pour a concrete foundation, there are many things to consider. The size of the foundation, the depth of the foundation, and the materials to be used. And if you think concrete is just concrete, think again. As I mentioned before, the ratio of sand, gravel, and cement and water are critical. The type and size of stones are critical. And if you mix the concrete wrong, it won't harden right. And we as Christians have to be careful on what we use in the ratios of our foundation. Now, based on the teachings of John Wesley, the United Methodist Church has adopted what is now called the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. And there's four items to this: Scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. See, John Wesley acknowledged that we would experience things that we could not directly address by the Bible. For example, today we have cars, television, and technology that did not exist in the first century. And sometimes we have to ask ourselves, how do we address Scripture in the light of our current context? John Wesley believed that we should always look to the Scriptures as our primary source of truth. Nothing overrides the truth of God's Word. But he said, if we cannot find the explicit truth from Scripture, then next we need to look at the long-standing traditions of the church that came from the earliest believers. After all, if Peter, James, John, or Paul had established beliefs or practices that did not contradict Scripture, then we can use those traditions to help guide us. Then third, if scripture and church tradition did not give us the answer, John Wesley believed, hey, we're created with reason, right? We have the ability to look at scriptural truths, to look at church tradition, and to reasonably think through to a logical decision that must be consistent with what we know from the truth of scripture. And lastly, John Wesley believed we should look to experience. And this was just not ordinary experience. I mean, driving here today is an experience. But that's not the kind of experience he was talking about. This is where we measure things based on spiritual experience, where we measure things based on spiritual fruits that are produced. Paul wrote to the Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So we could say, hey, it doesn't contradict the truth of the scripture. It is something consistent with the teaching of the church. It is something that makes sense, and it produces love, joy, peace, forbearance, and all these other things. What has happened over the century is that the balance of these four items has greatly varied. And I believe the true spirit of Wesley has been that scripture should always be primary. God's word, God's holy scripture should always be primary. That means God's word should be the core of our foundation. God's word is the measuring stick. But in cases where scripture needs further definition, then yes, let us look to traditions and teachings and beliefs that come out of the early church. Let us look at our own reasoning and spiritual experience. But what has happened in many cases is that we have many people who become self-enlightened. And what we have are many false teachings. And often we have allowed myths to become part of our tradition and reason. We have twisted the spiritual experience to mean our own earthly experience. We have allowed worldly standards and beliefs to override what our own Bible says. We want to lean on our understanding instead of the truth of the scripture. And remember, Peter, Paul, and John all warned us about false teachers. See, we as a people, we don't want the hard truth. We want to hear what fits within our own hearts and desires. Satan tempts us to question God's word. Satan wants us to change God's word to fit our desires. And this was his ploy against Adam and Eve. From Genesis 3, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Did God really say that? I cannot begin to tell you how many times I have heard this from people, especially Christians. Now, did God really say that? Is that really in the Bible? Oh, I can't believe Jesus would ever say that to people. There are many, including pastors, who purposely ignore scripture and decide which ones apply and which ones do not apply. There are many who have twisted scripture to fit their beliefs. And there are Christians and churches that have preference for the world standards over God's standards. And as I mentioned before, our foundations will fall. And as we see in this world, even in our own denomination, when we allow false teachings to persist, it causes cracks, splits, fractures, and even the destruction of churches. I'll say it again. Following false teachings has eternal consequences. When we teach a false gospel, we are leading people to a real hell. It's not pleasant to hear, is it? But when we believe and encourage and continue to push a false gospel, we are leading people to a real hell. And that is truth. Some of you know firsthand how costly it is to fix a bad foundation. Ask Robin, she knows. There are dozens of companies in this area that advertise on TV and radio, oh, we can come in and fix your foundation. Oh, we'll just dig out along the sides and we'll repair cracks, add reinforcements, create drainage. We'll pump in concrete and lift things up. And it sounds simple in the ad. That is until you get the estimate. Because sometimes the cost is as much or more than the value of the home itself. But just as your foundation can be repaired and rebuilt, so can the foundation of your faith. We can go to God and get help. We can start by getting our foundation materials in the right proportions and eliminate what is causing harm to our foundation. And guess what? If we need it, we can start all over. And God will wipe the slate clean. And we can start new with a proper foundation. In Ephesians 2, Paul tells us the proper mix for our foundation. He said, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Paul reminds people, we're not citizens of this earth anymore. When we become Christians, we are citizens of heaven. We are God's family. We are God's people. Even though we live on earth for now, our lives are to be built on God's teachings, God's rules, God's ways. Our foundation must be built on what the apostles and the prophets of the Bible taught us, with everything tied to Jesus Christ. Paul continues in verse 21, In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. God's word, the teachings of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. This is the foundation on which we come together as a church. It is a foundation that will stand up when the storms come. This is the foundation of truth. This is the foundation of salvation. This is the foundation on which we can build and grow. And together as a church, we strengthen one another. Our foundations are interlocked together. And we do this, we join them by studying his word together. We do this by praising his name and worshiping God together. And when we start with the right foundation, amazing things can happen. In the book of Acts, we see the foundation of what our church should look like. Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Some pretty good ingredients for a foundation there, isn't it? And because they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, because they devoted themselves to fellowship with one another, because they developed themselves to the breaking of bread and prayer and Holy Communion, because they did all of these things and secured that foundation, it says in verse 33 that everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And the effect of this was that all believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who was in need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And here's the catchphrase: and the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Having a good foundation restores unity. Having a good foundation brings others to the gospel of Christ. And when we come together, and when we start building our foundation together based on God's word, then the Lord will add to our number daily those who are being saved. How we live and what we teach has eternal consequences. Let us be sure that all we do is based on the foundation of God's word through Jesus Christ. Whoever has ears, I don't know about you, but I want to see God add and add and add to this church. Who doesn't want more people to find faith in Jesus Christ? Who doesn't want more people to have the eternal promise of heaven? Because if that's not what you want, then I got a question. Why are you here? But it's going to take more than 1 hour a Sunday to do this. It's going to take more than 1 hour a Sunday to do this. He says, it says they met together and they studied God's word together. They met in their homes. They met out in public. They met regularly together. And if you want to grow spiritually, if you want to see God do great things, then we need to start building that foundation together. Because if you think this church is going to grow on my merits, you're sadly mistaken. I am one individual who is very limited. And each of you are individuals who are very limited. But you know who is not limited? Our God. And when we come together in His name, and we come together through the power of the Holy Spirit, He will do great things among us. And we have to have faith in that. But we have to stand firm together on God's holy word. We need to grow together through God's holy word. And my prayer is that we'll have more than 2 or 3 or 4 in Sunday school. We need to get back to having classrooms full of people eager to build the foundation on God's word. And yes, home Bible study is wonderful. You need to do that. But nothing grows people than studying God's word together. We need small groups. We need Sunday school classes. We need people growing and learning and developing spiritually. And when we get that, God will grow this church. That I promise you. But it takes all of us working together. Are you ready to stand on the rock? Are you ready to build what God has called us to be? Let us leave here and be true people who follows God's teaching, who are eager and willing to do the work to grow this church. Go now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.